presence of the Lord. I've been free, delivered, and in your presence, Lord.
Thank you. If you can hear me, can you guys let me know in the chat room if you can hear me? Technical difficulties again. Okay, you can't hear me. Let's see what's going on. If you guys can hear me now, can you let me know, please? Now you can. Okay, I don't know what's happening with these technical difficulties, but some strange stuff has been going on, but Jesus is Lord. Okay, as I was saying, I don't know how much of you that you guys have heard, but we're in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I read, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what I was saying was that a lot of times people go to the altar and they go for salvation, and, you know, people say to say the sinner's prayer, repeat after me, say this or say that. And then a lot of times what happens is that people think that's the end of the story, and that's not the end of the story. Actually, it's the beginning of the new walk for the new believer. John chapter 3 says, Jesus says, you must be born again. This is Jesus. He said, you must be born again. Not you should be, or if you want to, you can be. He said, you must be born again. Amen. So what we want to teach about is being born again, but going to the altar and saying the sinner's prayer is not the end of the story. There is something that we must do. And according to Romans chapter 12, there's an action word in the first verse, and it says that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if you know anything about sacrifices in the Old Testament, the people could not just offer God anything they wanted to. Okay, the sacrifice had to be something that was acceptable unto God. It had to be a holy sacrifice unto God. Okay, they couldn't just present God a broken lamb, you know, or whatever the sacrifice was. It couldn't have blemishes on it. It couldn't be broken up. It couldn't be just, you know, something that they found along the side of the road and said, here, God, I'm going to give this to you. Okay, it had to be holy and acceptable unto God. And that was their reasonable service to do the offerings unto God. But today we don't have to present rams and turtle doves and, you know, all those things, that the goats and stuff that they had to give as sacrifices and the grain offerings. We don't have to do all of that today. But the Apostle Paul says to us in Romans chapter 12, present your body as a living sacrifice. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. See, he's telling us how to present our bodies unto God. We can't go to God and just present ourselves to him and say, look, here I am, accept me the way I am and deal with it. He does accept us as we are when we come to him, but there is something that we have to do in order to follow what the next verse tells us. It says, and be not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says that we have to do that. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we can't do the things that the world does and think that's acceptable unto God, because Paul says right here, be not conformed to this world. That means don't take on the ways of the world. If you read through the Old Testament, in many scriptures in the Old Testament, God was talking to his people, and he told people, his people, when they settled in another place, he said, don't take on the ways of the heathen. Don't take on the ways of the people around you. Do not take on their ways. You belong to me. I am God. You belong to me. Do not take on their ways. I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's the same thing that God is telling us today. Be holy, for I am holy. The things that the world is doing is not for us who are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Those of us who are calling ourselves holy, those of us who are calling ourselves believers and followers of Jesus Christ, the ways of the world are not acceptable to God. The ways of the world are not holy unto God. I was reading something today in one of our local newspapers, and I was seeing how people were getting upset at the believers because they don't want to promote same-sex relationships. you know, everybody else has an opinion, but once the believer says something about the word of God in reference to same-sex marriage, everybody wants to have a fit. But it's the word of God. But what they want the Christians to do is to just accept everything that they throw out. You have to accept same-sex marriage. You have to accept it in your church. You have to accept it in society. You have to accept it, you know, in Hollywood. Everywhere you go, same-sex people, they want you to just accept everything they do, and it's supposed to be okay. But as believers, we have a certain standard that we must follow. We have a certain standard that we must follow, and it's called holiness. It's called holiness, okay? Holiness is about how it's not about how long you wear your pants. It's not about how, you know, you walk around with no makeup on your face and no jewelry and men wearing your shirt sleeves all the way down to your wrist and, you know, everybody's toes covered up and all of that, okay? That's modesty if you want to wear clothes and stuff like that and not with it. That's up to you, okay? We all should dress modestly and make sure that we're not overdoing it with the things that we do. But on the other hand, you can wear a woman can wear a long dress and still go to hell. It don't matter. It depends on the condition of your heart. If the heart's not right, God knows that. We can look good on the outside, but is the heart okay? And this is why we want to talk about transformation, because the outside of the cup can look real good to a whole bunch of people, but if the inside of the cup is dirty, if we have not been transformed, glory to God, it means nothing to God. Understand, it means nothing to God. Hallelujah. So what we need to do is we need to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and help us. See, because there's a lot of things that goes on in our flesh. Maybe my issues may not be your issues, and maybe your issues may not be my issues. But the Bible tells us that we are to mortify the deeds of our flesh by the Spirit. And that's another part of transformation that we need to talk about. Because some of us, you know, when we come to Christ, we were the big cursers. We would curse. We curse you out in a hot minute. It didn't matter. We cuss you out, cut you up with our tongue. You know, we do all kind of things. Some of us attempted to kill people. You know, we've done all kind of things. Okay, now we're coming into Christ Jesus. We need a new way of thinking. And a part of the transformation is getting into the Word of God and devouring the Word of God. And that's one of the things we want to talk about with the caterpillar and the butterfly, is that when a caterpillar is hatched, when a little egg is hatched, a little larva is hatched onto that leaf. See, the butterfly is very specific. They're going to lay that egg on a leaf. Not just on a branch or on the ground somewhere. You're going to lay it on the leaf. And the purpose for it being laid on that leaf is so that when it is able to, when it starts its transformation process, that it can eat on that leaf, because that leaf is their nourishment. And I liken that unto John chapter 15, where Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And apart from that larva, if that larva was not on that leaf, that larva would not have life. And the same thing with us. If we're not in Jesus, in the Word, we have no life. If we're not in Him, learning of Him, devouring His Word, and allowing His Word to transform us, we're still staying in the same place that we were in before. Saying that you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior actually really doesn't really mean too much, because there's no transformation going on. And one pet peeve that I have is that people are calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or saying they're calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have been saved for years and years and years, and you're still cussing, and you're still fornicating, and you're still lying, and you're still cheating. Where is the transformation going to start? When is the trip? But, you know, we have so many people teaching about prosperity, so many people teaching that, you know, God loves you just the way you are. Just come on in and you can just do what you want to do because you're going to heaven anyway. That's heresy, and it's a lie from the devil, and it's false doctrine. It's false teaching, and I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. See, we have to be transformed. There's something that we have to do. We have to literally pick up our Bibles. Well, we're in 2012, so people are using iPads and tablets and everything. Pick up the Word of God, whatever form that you try to use it in, okay, and read it. And not just read it, but study it. Meditate on it. If it's something you don't understand, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand the Word of God, okay, because you know for a fact if you ask Him that, He will teach you. I know for a fact, okay, I've done it, so I do know that the Holy Spirit will teach us. Amen. So, back to Romans chapter 12, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I did a research this morning on the butterfly, the caterpillar and the butterfly, and I went to lifecycle.onenessbecomesus.com, okay? lifecycle.onenessbecomesus.com. And I was interested in looking at the way a caterpillar is transformed into a butterfly. And the process is not pretty, okay? The process is not pretty, and really, it's just really amazing how God, the creator of everything, just specifically made these creatures to do what they do, okay? It's amazing to me how God, in his infinite wisdom, how he just created these beings, and they do what they do. Now, the caterpillar is a little ugly creature as far as I'm concerned. I don't think they're too cute to look at, but, hey, some other people may think they are. And, you know, when it's born, it's in this little larva. If you go to that site, you'll be able to see the different pictures they give to you. The caterpillar, I don't even like looking at the picture because it grosses me out, but he's there, and his life cycle, his transformation begins, and it's kind of a quick transformation. It's kind of a quick transformation, but the process that it goes through, the shedding of skin, the caterpillar sheds its skin 5 times before it goes into its place of transformation completely. It sheds its skin 5 times. I had no idea that this happened, okay? You're so used to hearing, oh, the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and then it comes out a butterfly. But there's a whole process that goes with that. And the same thing with us. There's a process. Some of us have more layers of skin that we need to shed than 5. Some of us have more layers of sin that we need to shed. And some of us are still holding on to those things, but God wants us to be set free, and he wants us to let those things go. I don't know what your things that you need to shed are, but I know there's a couple of things that I still need to shed, glory to God. But whatever these things are that we need to shed, we need to be honest with God, and we need to say, God, these are some things that I need you to take off of me. I need to shed this layer of this, and I need to shed this layer of that, and I need to shed this layer of that. And guess what? Looking at the caterpillar when it's going through its transformation, it doesn't look like it was pain-free. I don't know if it was or not. But it just looks like, ugh, you know, the skin is being drawn back, and the new creature is coming forth, and it's coming forth in segments. It's coming forth in stages. See, and a lot of us want to just jump from one thing to another, and there's still things in us that we need to shed. There's still things in us that we need to get rid of. We're trying to jump from A to Z without going through the process, and that's why when we get all the way to Z, we fall backwards because we skip the process in between. And God wants us to deal with the process in between and get it together so that we can be effective witnesses for him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just, you know, thank God for what he is doing and how he is teaching us. But, you know, seriously, when we present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice, holy, we have to understand that there's a process. But see, there's something that we have to do. We have to speak to ourselves and tell ourselves, look, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Welcome, Voices of Victory. That is my husband. Husband, will you please pick up the phone at some point so you can help me with this? Glory to God. But we're talking right now about, 4259. I'm looking in the chat room. Shirley says she has some shedding to do. And 4259 says it's laziness is what it comes down to and why people don't. I want to wait to see what you finish saying. And why people don't finish the process, I guess, don't read their Bible. And it is laziness. And I can agree with that because I know a lot of times I get lazy. Or I'll get busy. I'll get lazy or get busy. And I'll find myself, if I get busy, then I'm too tired to read the Bible. Or I'm just too lazy to read the Bible. And basically, the most part of it is that we're too lazy. But we have to do something with for our transformation. We want God to do it. We want God to do this thing like snap your finger and then everything's okay. No, but we have to go through a process. Okay, there's things in us that, you know, there were some things in me that I, you know, God brought up and I thought that was over with. And God brought that thing up and I was like, ooh, I forgot all about that. But he wants us to be holy. He wants us to be clean so that when we go before him, our prayers won't be rejected. Amen? Because I don't want my prayers to be rejected at all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My husband says we need to shed off the old so that there is room for the best to come into our lives. The caterpillar slithers close to the ground, whereas the butterfly soars beautiful and complete. Glory to God. But the study that we were doing on the butterfly is amazing, and they even have pictures, and they have a slideshow and all that stuff. But just the part of the transformation of this thing by itself is awesome. But there were also some things in this lesson that I wanted to equate this caterpillar to us, this caterpillar to us. See, when we are born again, when we first are born again, we're still, and we're still now, dealing with this sinful nature. Our nature is just sinful, okay, because our forefather, because of the sin in the Garden of Eden, we're born into sin, okay? But there comes a point in time where we just say, Lord, you know, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. But I come to you, and I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'll confess it with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that Jesus came. This is what I say, Jesus, I believe that you came. I believe it in my heart. Nobody can tell me any different, that you came, that you are the Son of God, that you came, you were born of a virgin, okay? You were beaten for me. You were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. This, I'm not saying everybody has to say this, but this is what I say to God, and I still say it to him. I believe that, okay? And because I believe that, I believe that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I believe you did that for me. Now I'm asking you through the Holy Spirit to help me. I'm asking you through the Holy Spirit to help me. I need help to go to this next level of transformation. I need help. I need you to help me because right now it doesn't feel good. There's some things that you want me to shed, and I know you want me to shed, and but it's been a part of me for so long, I've gotten comfortable with this thing. But God, I know you want me to shed this thing because this is another level. This is another level of deadness that has to come off of me so that the new person can really emerge. Another level of deadness has to come off so that the new person can emerge, so that the spiritual person can emerge, glory to God, so that the holy person can emerge, glory to God, so that the righteous person can emerge, glory to God, hallelujah, so that I can be set apart, glory to God, hallelujah. And this is something that we have to seek God for. Because I can promise you it's not going to happen by osmosis. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. We have to actively do something, and I want to just share something with you today. And I really, and I'm using it as a tool for witnessing because I know God has me at my job for a reason. It's not just for me to be sitting there being bored, but God has me there for a reason, and I know this. And he's been proving it to me for the last couple of days since I've been back at my location, glory to God. But on today, someone presented something to me that I had told God that I was not going to do anymore. This is what I'm talking about, these layers, this transformation, glory to God, hallelujah. He and the person presented this stuff to me, and I had told God several months ago that I will not buy bootleg movies, okay? This guy came and showed me these movies, and I'm telling you, it was everything that I wanted to see. It was everything that, you know, I wanted to see. It was some comedy in there. It was some drama in there. And things that I'm, you know, immediately my flesh was like, yeah, I want to see this. I want to see this. I want to see that. And then the Holy Spirit checked me. See, this is where transformation comes in. This is where presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God comes in. Okay, and we have to make a conscious decision whether we're going to obey God, we're going to fall in line and do what we said we were going to do, or we're just going to let our flesh take control and just follow the enemy. Because whoever we yield our member servants to obey, that's whose servant we become. That's whose servant we are. So if I yield myself members to sin, then I'm a servant of unrighteousness. And we read the scripture the other night in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. It says, if you do well, won't you be rewarded for it? But if you don't do well, sin is crouching at your door. Sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you, but you must master it. You must master it. This is in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 7. You must master that thing. So I had to tell the guy, and then I had to send him a text message and say, you know what, I cannot purchase these things from you, because to God, because I am a born-again believer, to God, that is stealing, and I will not steal. I will not do that. I will not disappoint God by satisfying my flesh. So I'm using that as a witnessing tool to let him know that I can't. I'm a woman of God, okay? And I don't want to disappoint God, my Heavenly Father, by doing something that is sinful. I could justify getting a bootleg tape all I want, okay? There really is no justification, but in my flesh will find all kind of reasons to buy a bootleg tape. But see, if I don't get it the right way, then it's stealing. Okay, my friend and I were talking about that today. We don't want to do anything that is displeasing to God, no matter how little it may seem, because the Bible says a little leaven leavens the lump. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You can put a little yeast in the flour, and the whole lump of flour is going to rise. Okay? I don't care what you do. That lump of flour is going to rise because you put that yeast in there. And so once we open up the door to sin, okay, that sin is going to grow, and it's not only going to be stealing now, and then you find yourself justifying that stealing, or what your version of justifying that stealing, okay? Then you find yourself lying. Then you find yourself doing something else, and then you find yourself way out in left field and say, well, how did I get here? Remember when you bought those bootleg tapes and you said to God that you were not going to ever buy those again? You opened up the door for sin. It was crouching at your door, and you opened it up because you bought the bootleg CDs, okay? Oh, you say, well, I didn't steal them. Well, you're helping someone who did steal it, okay? You're an accessory to a theft. Oh, well, you don't have to say it like that because it's not that deep. Yes, it is, because sin is sin to God, okay? Sin is sin to God. So you can call it a little bit of sin if you want to, okay? But just like that little mustard seed, when you plant that mustard seed becomes a great big old tree, all right? And the same thing with sin. When you plant that seed of sin, it becomes a big old thing if you don't repent and turn away from that thing. Ask God to forgive you. Change your mind about that thing and keep it moving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish I had an amen over here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. Jesus is Lord. And if you mean what you say, if you have the Holy Spirit and you listen to the Holy Spirit and you know the voice of the Holy Spirit and you know the voice of God, he will check you. And you have the choice to either do right or do wrong. Because, again, the Holy Spirit is not going to make us do anything. It's our choice whether we're going to do right or do wrong. Glory to God. So one of those movies I wanted to see in particular is a comedy, and I wanted to see it, and it's a wholesome comedy, and I wanted to see it, but it's not worth my salvation. It's not worth my salvation. It's not worth that little sin. It's not worth me going to hell, or it's not even a little sin. I have to stop saying that because there is no sin is sin to God. We got to stop categorizing sin. Yes, there are some things that God calls abominations. Okay, we know same-sex marriage is an abomination. Same-sex relationships are abomination unto God. We know that. We know that the six things that God hates and seven are abomination unto him. If you go to the book of Proverbs and you read those things, lying, hands that are swift to shed innocent blood, or feet that are swift to go and shed innocent blood, those that sow discord, okay, and the list goes on and on. These things the Lord hates and seven are an abomination unto him. But if we're not careful, we find ourselves in these things. And then we look up and we're wondering, how come, oh, why am I doing this now? I remember I used to read the word. I remember I used to pray. I remember I used to go to church. I remember I used to love God. You find yourself saying, I used to do this and I used to do that, then it's time to get back in the word of God. It's time to fall down on your knees or get down on the floor and lay prostrate and say, God, I don't know what happened. I really do know what happened. But God, help me because I have drifted away from you. Help me, Lord. Help me. I'm crying out to you, God, to clean me again. Wash me again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, God. I aim to live right. I'm going to live right. I transform my mind with the renewing of your word. Wash me, God, with your word. Cleanse me, oh God. If you wash me, I shall be clean. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But see, these are the kind of things that we got to say, and we got to mean it. We got to say it, not just say it, but mean it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you today, I had to say, God, please forgive me. Because guess what? There's no movie. I don't care who's in the movie. And none of those movies worth my soul. Okay? Nothing is worth my soul. Nothing. I don't want to miss heaven on account of, oh, that's not stealing. Yes, it is. You didn't go to the store and buy it the right way. It's stealing. Is stealing. Now, husband, where are you? He still hasn't picked up the phone. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about this little caterpillar again because he still hasn't evolved into his butterfly yet. Amen. If anybody has any questions or comments, please dial area code 323-693-3054 and press the 1 and we'll get you on the line. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're already on the phone line and you'd like to have a question or comment, please press 1, and you'll be placed in a caller queue, and we'll get you on the line. My sister is on the line, and I see that you have pressed the 1. Did you have something that you wanted to say, young lady, before we go a little bit further? Hello?
Not yet.
Not yet? All righty, then. We're going to leave you there for a minute, and if you have something to say, you can let us know. Amen. So let me read something to you as far as this caterpillar is concerned, okay? Now we're talking about the caterpillars getting bigger. It says, a time for growth has arrived. I like this. A time for growth has arrived. It's time for us to grow. It's time for us to grow. We need to grow up in the Lord. We need to get off the milk, get off the pablum, get off the cream of wheat, and start eating the meat of the Word of God. Amen. The larva, it says, is driven by one commandment in life, to eat and grow. Okay? The larva is driven by one commandment in life, and that's to eat and grow. When that larva is able to start eating, it's going to eat that whole leaf. It's going to keep eating. 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 Okay? That's why it's laid on that leaf, because when it forms into that caterpillar, it starts to eat that leaf, and it's going to keep eating, it's going to keep eating, because that's its nourishment. And that's the same thing with us. We have to keep eating to grow. We have to eat the word of God to grow. We know that in the natural, if we don't feed our bodies, we are not going to grow, and eventually we are going to die. Okay? That's just nature. Okay? If you don't feed something, if you don't water something, if you don't nurture something, it's going to die. All right? And so, like this caterpillar, we are supposed to eat and grow. Eat the word of God. If some of us would eat the word of God as much as we eat natural food, we'd be somewhere. Glory to God in the spirit. If we ate as much of the word of God as we eat junk food, and I'm talking about myself because I'm a junkie, junk food eater. Okay? I have not been delivered from that yet. I like my chips. I like my Smarties or whatever you call them things. I like that. I like that. I like my little Twizzlers and whatever else I like to eat because it could change on any given day. But I like my snack food. But what I'm saying is if we eat the Word of God like we eat other things, okay, we might be going some places, all right? So, it goes on to say that in just 2 weeks, the caterpillar will shed its skin 5 times. Remember I said that before? In 2 weeks, the caterpillar will shed its skin 5 times. He says, in other words, the insect must wear and outgrow 5 skins. 5. Each skin is called an instar. Okay, and then it shows all these pictures, okay? Then it says the caterpillar is only about 10 days old. As can be observed, the young larva is in the process of its 4th shed. So they're showing pictures about when it's in its 4th shed or whatever. Okay, I'm going to skip down a little bit. It says at this stage, the caterpillar is eating its fill. Okay, it must get enough nutrition from a sole diet of milkweed leaves. Listen to that. It must get its nutrition from a sole diet of milkweed leaves to fuel the complex processes of the metamorphosis to come. So what they're saying is that this caterpillar has to keep eating and keep eating, and it's only eating from one thing. It's eating from that particular leaf, okay? Their diet is strictly of milkweed leaves, nothing else, okay? And they're eating that milkweed leaf to fuel its body because it's about to go through, okay, a complex process of metamorphosis. See, that's why we need to eat this word of God. We need to eat this word of God, okay? We need to eat. We need not to look for other ways out. We need to eat this word of God. I know some people take the Bible and they be like, well, is the Bible real? Let me see if I can find something in the Bible that's not right. Let me see if I can find this in the Bible and it's not right. You know, try to find other things, all right, that they want to bring up to try to make the Bible not real. But let me tell you something. Eat the word of God. Let your diet be the word of God. Let your consumption be the word of God, okay? Other books are fine if they're enhancing, you know, if they're being enhanced by the word of God, but your soul, your main diet should be the word of God, okay? Other people on TV can preach to you. You can listen to Blog Talk Radio all day and all night, but the word of God, okay, is what helps us with our transformation, the word of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
And this is what we have to do, just like this caterpillar, okay? This caterpillar is he's eating because his body is getting ready to go through such a transformation that he needs food to help him through the transformation process. And that's with us. We need food to get through this transformation process. We need the word of God to help us get through this transformation process, because as we're shedding these layers of whatever it is that we're shedding, glory to God, there's going to be temptations coming up to try you to see, so you can see for yourself, okay? Not coming to tempt you to sin, but coming to tempt you to let you see where you are. Coming to show you where you are. Okay, I still need to shed that layer. Yep, I still need to shed that layer. Yep, I still need. Okay, I'm going to get in the word of God, and I'm going to read the word of God, and I'm going to meditate on the word of God, and I'm going to meditate on the things that I know that I need to shed. I'm going to meditate on the works of the flesh, and I'm going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help me to mortify the deeds of my flesh. And every day, every time the temptation comes, oh, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me to mortify the deeds of my flesh. Oh, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me right now to mortify this deed of lust in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, I need you right now to help me to mortify this deed of the flesh, this lying deed of the flesh in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me to mortify, hallelujah, glory to God, this deed of stealing or backbiting or whatever it is. And you'll begin to shed those layers. You'll begin to shed, but there's something that we got to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's glory to God. All right? Now we're going to go down a little bit further. Honey, did you have anything to say in regards to where we are right now?
I would just like just to add a good evening, Evangelist Teresa, and to your listening audience, those in the chat room, those that will be listening later in the archives. I just wanted just to, I guess, put a little footnote to it or addition to what you just said. Everything you say is true. So, and amen, as the Lord would say, so be it. But I would just like to remind those of us, every one of us start out as caterpillars. When we're in the world, when we're being guided, ruled, led, and directed by our flesh, we're caterpillars. We're slithering. We're close to the earth. We are far from the things that God would have us to be and to do. But once we get into that cocoon, once we get into that place of transformation, there needs to be that transformation needs to begin. We need to start shedding off, as you said. But remind ourselves of this. Even as I like what you said, it takes a certain amount of time for the process to be completed. All the shedding, all the renewing that the caterpillar does in order to become that butterfly. But, you know, a caterpillar that stays in the cocoon too long eventually dies. There's a time span. There's a limit. This and no more. If it stays in there 4 or 5 weeks, you know that caterpillar's dead. And there are caterpillars that do die in the cocoon. Not every one of them breaks out as a butterfly. And so we need to remind ourselves when we find ourselves 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 70 years in the body of Christ or professing to be Christians, that if we haven't seen ourselves grow, or we haven't seen ourselves grow significantly enough. You know, a child that remains at a certain level, we say there's something wrong with that child. A child of 15 that still acts as a 2 month old, we would say there's something wrong. That's not normal. That's not the way it should be. Something's out of sync. Something needs to be done to help this child. The child is not developing normally. There's a stifling. There's a stagnation there that needs to be dealt with. And so it is with the body of Christ. If you find yourself still sucking on the bottle of your faith, still struggling with things that you should have long ago overcome, and we've all been there. We've all been there. I've been in ministry 50-some years, almost 50 years in ministry. I've been a Christian all my life in terms of being in church and even professing my faith. I'll be 61 in November, and I professed my faith at 11 years old. That's 50 years ago. But yet, nevertheless, I've had to grow. Even yet, things that I should have shut off years ago, I find myself still being hindered and being tempted and being taunted by those things even now. And as you said, we have to seek the Holy Spirit, as Roman reminds us, for it's only through the help of the Holy Spirit can we mortify the deeds of the flesh. But once we begin mortifying them, we've got to move away from them. See, we've been conditioned to believe that we're still in a curse mode, that we're battling with the curses of generations, that we're battling with the curses of our mothers and our fathers and of Adam and Eve and all of that. Christ paid for all of that at Calvary. We're no longer trapped by the curses of our family, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's some physical disease that has been handed from one generation to another, like diabetes and other things that are hemophilia, which are generational curses. But we're no longer bound by those things. We're no longer bound by how my mother used to act and what my family used to do and you know, well, my grandmother was hot-tempered and my mama was impatient, and so therefore that explains why I have a short fuse. Well, the Lord tells us that we need to grow in patience. We need to develop a long-suffering. We need to develop self-control. Temperance, the word of the King James Version tells us. We need to start developing those things. You know, sometimes we have to look at all of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, yes, holiness does not just mean that I don't fornicate anymore. Holiness also means that I keep my mouth shut and don't respond in ways that I normally would respond and don't act in ways that I used to act. I don't act that way no more. And not because, well, you know, my mama was this and my daddy was that and my daddy was a Rolling Stone. Well, man, you don't have to be a Rolling Stone. Be the kind of father you wanted your father to be. Be the kind of mother you wanted your mother to be. Be the kind of wife and the husband that you wanted your wife or your husband and your father and mother to be. You wanted them to be there for you for basketball practice, and you wanted them to be there for you at your first concert or there for you for this or that. You to turn to them when you had trouble and to love you and nurture you and coddle you and all of that. Well, you need to be what you see. I'm going to tell you something. You can look at life two ways, evangelist. You can look at life in terms of I'm going to be like. Or you can look at life, I won't be like that. I'll be different than that. It don't matter how you look at life. Transformation means that I'm going to look at life a different way. Repentance means just that too. I'm going to look at things differently. I'm going to turn away from means I'm going to look at them differently. I'm not going to do what I used to do. I'm not going to act the way I used to act. I'm not going to respond in the way I used to respond. I'm not going to treat. There has to be a difference. Praise be to God. It has to be a difference. And yes, process. Pure sanctification, complete sanctification only comes when you stand before the Almighty God. That's when you really are, that's when we really are in a place of perfection. But we're supposed to be striving to get there every single day of our lives. That caterpillar is striving to become a butterfly. He stays in there, and as you said, he sheds off some things. And as he sheds off, remember now, he's putting on some other things.
Yes, he is.
So not just shedding, you got to put on. Because if he didn't shed it and put on nothing, he would disappear. He sheds his sliminess, and he sheds his little tiny legs and his body. And he replaces it with beautiful wings and a beautiful body and a body that can now soar and fly high, reach the stars and all of this type of thing. He couldn't even see a star. He was so low. He was so close to the ground, he couldn't even see up. But now he's flying where he couldn't even see before. See, that's what God will do for you, dear hearts. If you allow him to place you in the cocoon, and while you're in the cocoon that you do something, not become complacent, not become relaxed, not become docile, but you do something. So you can stay anywhere too long, even in the cocoon, even in the place of your transformation. If you stay too long and you don't do what the cocoon was meant to do, which was change you from one thing to another, you'll find yourself still dead. But thanks be to God, he gives us another opportunity. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. We're all in the cocoon to a certain extent. And only when we're ready to burst out and to be what God wants us to be and move in his purpose for our lives and begin to soar like that eagle that Isaiah talks about, can we fully find ourselves that butterfly that God wanted us to be. God doesn't want us to stay a caterpillar, struggling to move from one place to another, eating the leaves. I bought some corn. I actually was given corn today, ears of corn. And one of the ears of corn, my aide, she opened the ear of corn up trying to shuck it and get it clean to cook it. And one of the ear of corn had a caterpillar in it, eating the husk. And it reminded me of the prodigal son who was so low and so forlorn and so broken that he found himself eating the husk of the corn that he was feeding to the pigs. He found himself eating it. And I said, oh my. And then when Evangelist Teresa reminded us what the topic was for today, I was reminded about that caterpillar I saw. She showed it to me, and I saw how the caterpillar had eaten away the husk of the corn. Just think, that same caterpillar one day will become a beautiful butterfly that we'll admire, that we'll want to look at and call it beautiful. Colors of orange and yellow and red and all intermingled to make a beautiful butterfly with patterns that are unique unto itself. There's no two butterflies exactly alike. Everyone is unique unto itself. But every one of them is beautiful in its own right.
Amen.
So I just want us to, as we find ourselves in the cocoon stage of our lives, start shedding off and allow God to put on the things that will replace the things we've shed off. The things that are beautiful, the things that are wonderful, the unique things that God has planned for us from the foundation of the world. He wants to put them into our lives. He wants to put them in the place of the degradation that our lives often find themselves in. Being down, disheartened, depressed, discouraged. That's not what he means for us. Jeremiah said his purpose is for us to have joy and hope of a great future. That's his plan. That's his purpose for us. No matter where you find yourself, remember that's what God purposed you to be. That's what God birthed you to be. That's why you're here on this earth, so that you have a great hope of a great future. Not be stuck where you are if you find yourself stuck somewhere, discouraged and forlorn, filled with melancholy and dread, depressed and defeated. That's not where he wants you to be. Each of us are more than conquerors. Let's begin acting like it. Let's break through the cocoons of our lives and allow the cocoon to break us and make us and change us and transform us and have a metamorphic experience in that cocoon. And then once we break through, we can soar. Don't you want to soar this evening?
Amen.
Aren't you tired of being groveling on the ground, slithering up and down life's highway, never seeing the things up, always seeing the things that are low, never seeing the things that are high, the wonderful things, the beauty of the sky, the sun shining, never seeing that? You know a caterpillar never sees the sun? He doesn't know what a star looks like. He's on the earth. He's underground. Oh, but God doesn't want you to stay there. God doesn't even want you to be there. But it's our choice. We have to make a choice this evening. Salvation is not something that will happen and will be experienced in the sweet by and by. You can be saved from the troubles of this world too. You can be saved from sin in this world. You can be saved from depression. You can be saved from disease. You can be saved from anything that hinders you. You can be saved from it. See, salvation is not something that will happen to us. It's something that has happened to us once you receive Christ into your life. It's not a futuristic thing. That's just the fulfillment of it all in the future, in heaven, around God's throne. That's the culmination of it all. But he saves us on earth so that we can be saved on earth. Save some of the things that bound you. Save some from the things that entrap us. Save some of the things that bring us down and turn us around and tear us apart. He saved you from that too. See, we have to remember, we don't talk about saved in the future sense. We never say he's saving us. We always refer to it as he saved us. So it's an act that's already been performed once you accept him into your life. You are saved. There's no such thing as saving. Either you're saved or you're not saved. Either you are a caterpillar or you are a butterfly. There is no creature in between. There's no such thing as a caterpillar. So begin to walk in the promises of God. You know, we say an old prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom's on earth as it is in heaven. You can have joy on earth as you do in heaven. You can have peace on earth as you do in heaven. You may say, well, I can't have no peace because this is happening in my life, and my children ain't acting right. My husband is getting on my last nerve. My wife, she certainly has driven me to my last patience. How can I have peace in this turmoil that I call my life? But, you know, peace is not determined by the circumstances of your life. The peace comes by your relationship with God. He gives you peace even in the storm. That's what Christ was telling his disciples. They were all troubled, and they were telling him when the storm came, don't you care about us? Don't you care whether we perish? Here you are sleeping in the gully, and here we are trembling and filled with fear and trepidation? Don't you care about us? You talk about you are our master and you are our Lord, and you don't even care about us. You're sleeping while we're perishing. And Christ retorted and said, oh, ye of little faith, I got it all under control. I'm in your life. I'm here on the ship. I got it all under control. And then he stood up and calmly, not with no great thunder and lightning and flashing and all that, calmly said these words, peace be still. Didn't wave his arms and magic wands and rods and staffs and all of that. He just said, peace be still. And the raging storm quieted down. The waves became calm. The boat didn't capsize, but it settled into the calm seas that Christ had established. And he's telling us now, in the midst of your storm, call upon me. Don't be filled with trepidation. Don't throw up your hands and surrender. Don't be defeated. Don't be filled with fear. I have it under control. And if you believe I do, and if you move and act as if you believe that, then you will come out as pure gold. You will remove yourself from being a caterpillar, and you'll become that butterfly that you want to be. What's my purpose in life? Your purpose, first and foremost, is get a relationship with God. He'll do the rest. He'll show you what you are meant to be, who you are meant to be, how you are meant to be it, and how you can get to be what he wants you to be. Just first seek him. We try to find out our purpose on our own. First seek him and his righteousness and all these things. So we always think about things in terms of money, position, rank, power. He's talking about everything. All these things. What's my niche in life? What's my purpose? Why was I born? All these things that we wonder about all our lives. Is it too late? What can I do? What's my talent? What's my gift? Seek me. You'll never find out what I meant for you until you find out who I am in you. Oh, but when you do, when you hide yourself and wait on the Lord and be of good courage and don't complain while you're in the cocoon, but thank God that he's working a miracle in your life, that he's taking you from one level to another, and be prepared when he finally breaks you out as that butterfly, be prepared to soar. Because that's what God wants you to do. Soar. Above your problems. Above your generational curses. Above your situation. Above your illness and your ailments and your complaints. Above your woe is me. And how long and why me. Above all of that. He wants you to soar above all that. And you don't need wings of angels. All you need is faith in God. And you'll be able to say, as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Or what Joseph said to his brothers, you meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good. Or like the Apostle Paul says, all things work together for good. Them who are called according to his purpose. Thank you, Vandalist, for the opportunity to share these words with your audience.
Amen. I believe everybody who heard was blessed by the things that God allowed you to speak to us on tonight. And you said a couple of things that I just wanted to piggyback on, and you piggybacked on me, so we're piggybacking on each other.
Hey, man.
Which is excellent, but it's a process. And I want to keep saying that it's a process, and I want to say specifically that it's a process for my sister because she's a baby Christian, if I can use those words. And she's trying to learn things about transformation, about, you know, her purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you and I both know that she knows what her purpose is. She keeps saying she doesn't, but she does.
Amen.
And it's a process. See, sometimes we lose people, and 4259, I want to say something to you about this too. Sometimes we lose people because we put too many expectations on them, especially baby Christians. The things that I'm saying on this broadcast tonight and the things that my husband are saying on this broadcast tonight is because we've already lived through this, and we're still living through this. Okay, where you are, we've been there. But I know, too, that people put so many demands on us that it's like, oh, my God, I can't live up to this expectation. I can't live holy. I don't know what to do. We don't want to do that. We want to help people through the process, and we're still going through the process of transformation and metamorphosis.
Amen.
We haven't completely gotten to where God really wants us to be yet. We're still striving. We're still striving for perfection, which is maturity in God. He knows that we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. There is no good thing in our flesh, but we're striving for perfection. And what we need to do is, like the caterpillar does, is we need to allow the Lord to take us through the this is going to sound funny, but the natural spiritual process. And what I'm saying is there's a spiritual process that he wants to take us to, take us through, fighting against it by trying to do what we want to do, or resisting what God is trying to take us through and help us through this transformation period. We just need to submit to him. And I want to say that it's not going to look right to everybody. People are not going to agree with us as we go through our transformation process. People are not going to like it. The enemy is going to come and try to tempt us to not go any further, throw things our way to kind of discourage us and keep us from continuing with the process. But we have to know that there's a prize at the end of this. The Bible says that in a race, everybody runs, but only one person gets the prize. But we know that as believers, that at the end of this, our prize is eternal life, okay? And those of us that remain in the faith, we're going to have eternal life with Jesus Christ, okay? With God the Father, with Jesus Christ, we're going to have that eternal life. There's no question about it, okay? But we have to remain steadfast and unmovable, no matter who does and no matter who doesn't. No matter who walks with you, no matter who doesn't. We have to remain steadfast and unmovable and allow God to take us through this process so that we can be transformed. It means sacrifice. It means things that we're going to have to do that we might not necessarily want to do. And that's that reading that Bible, getting that Bible up and say you're going to read whether you want to or not. You're going to read. And even we have to get to the point where we tell ourselves, I love reading the Word of God. I love reading the Word of God. I'm going to read my Word today. I'm going to read my Word today. I love reading the Word of God. I love God. God, I love you. I know this Word is you. So I'm just going to read this Word, and I'm going to be like that caterpillar. I'm just going to eat, and I'm going to eat, and I'm going to eat, and I'm going to eat. Because I know I'm going through this transformation process, and I really want you to help me. And don't you know He will? He really will. And Force 259, I listened to your broadcast the other night and how you guys were saying, you know, you really have to love people where they are, and you have to minister to people where they are, and you have to minister to people who a lot of people just will not go and minister to, those that are alcoholics. So people say, well, I don't want to be around that alcoholic, and I don't want to be around that drug addict, and I don't want to be around that whore, and I don't want to be around that prostitute. But these are the people that we got to go out there and minister to. Jesus said, go out into the hedges and the highway and compel them to come in. That means you going out to the hedges and the highways, that's people living underneath the bridges and people out there that, you know, are dirty and people don't want to be bothered with. And he wants us to go out there and show the love of God to the people so that they can come in, okay, and they can feast at the table. So they can come in and be transformed by the renewing of their minds. Glory to God. Hello, Patriot Greg. So what we want to do is we want to humble ourselves, okay? We want to humble ourselves and we want to submit to the Spirit of God. We want to submit to the Word of God and allow this transformation to come forth. We want to submit to the Word of God. Whatever He tells you to do, whatever He leads you to do, okay? If He leads you to fast and He doesn't lead anybody else to fast, go ahead and fast. If He leads you to pray at a certain time and He doesn't lead anybody else to pray at a certain time, you go ahead and pray. You do what God is leading you to do for your soul. And guess what? And believe me when I tell you, God is not going to lead any of us to do anything contradictory to Himself. All right? We have to change our minds. We have to change our way of thinking. Why? Because our old man is an enemy against God. The old man is enmity against God, okay? The Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit so we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, okay? That means we got to take this Word of God and we got to eat this Word of God. We got to spend more time in this Word of God than we do in television. We got to spend more time in the Word of God than we do on the telephone. We got to spend more time in this Word of God than we do playing video games or whatever it is that we do that's taking up our time. We have to spend more time in the Word of God so that the Word of God can change me. In the book of Psalms, it says, how can a young man change his ways? How can a young man cleanse his ways? And it says, by giving heed unto the Word of God. How can a young man change his ways? By giving heed to the Word of God. And that's what we're supposed to do, give heed to the Word of God. It's not about our opinion, oh, that's too hard, or da, da, da. No, because our flesh doesn't want to line up, and our flesh even can't line up with the spiritual things. Spiritual things discern spiritual things, okay? The natural man does not receive the things of God. The natural man is not going to receive the things of God, okay? That's why we have to get in the Spirit, and the Word of God is Spirit and is life. This Word of God is Spirit and is life. We just have to allow the Word of God to change us and transform us. We have to consume this Word of God like that caterpillar on the leaf. And I wish you guys would go and look on the internet and just look at a picture of a caterpillar eating on that leaf and how it just eats and eats and eats and eats like a little Pac-Man, just eating it and consuming it, and it's getting ready for the transformation process. It's getting ready. It needs strength. It needs nourishment so that it can go through the process of the shedding of that flesh. See, we need to eat the Word of God because when we go through the process of the shedding of our flesh, we need some power to be able to stand on. We need nourishment to be able to stand on as we're going through that shedding of our flesh because it's a process. Our flesh is fighting. No, I don't want to get rid of that. No, I don't want to let go of that. I like it. It's comfortable. This is what I like to do. But in order for us to be who God wants us to be, in Him, we have to shed this stuff and let this stuff go. Let it go. We got to let it go. But that comes with nourishing ourselves with the Word of God. It comes with being attached to the vine. Because Jesus said, without me, you can't do nothing. There's nothing you can do without me. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? So we need to take this Word and just consume this Word and say whatever it is that we don't understand, God, I need you to help me understand this. Because your Word says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And God, I want you to help me to renew my mind. I want you to help me to transform my mind with your Word. I want to be washed with the water of the Word. And He'll do that. He'll do that. But see, some of us, we allow fear to get in the way. We allow the opinions of others to get in the way. And I think the major hindrance to us in our walk is the opinions of others. What others might think. Oh, they might not want to hang around me now because now I'm changing. Okay, well, bye, boo. If I can say that, bye. Go on somewhere. Go on somewhere and sit down. Do what you got to do because I got to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. You're welcome to come and walk with me. But guess what? If you can't walk this walk with me, I love you, but I got to get this thing together because I want my final destination to be in heaven with my Heavenly Father. And I'm trying to get my love relationship right with him right now. Not my just, I don't want to be God's acquaintance. I want a love relationship with him. I already know he loves me, but I want him to know that I love him. I don't want to just be an occasional dropper by. You know, I have people that say they love me all the time that live in this city, and I have not seen them at my house yet. They have not come to my house yet, not once. There's people that I've said I love, and I've not been to their house, not once. You know, I may speak to you every 5 or 6 months, whatever the case is, but I love you. Okay, yeah, okay. I don't never call to check on you to see how you're doing. I never call to find out if you need anything, you know, and vice versa. But see, God is always here for us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll check on us every single day. Why? Because he's omnipresent and he loves us and he cares for us. And quiet as it's kept, God don't want us to go to hell. God is not some angry God that he's just sitting there waiting for you to die so he can throw you in hell, or he's waiting for, you know, us to go to hell and then hell and death be cast into the lake of fire. He's not an angry God towards us like that. He loves us. He showed us his love so much when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and take on our penalty of sin. That's how much he loves us, that he sent his only begotten son to hang on that cross for us. And before he went to the cross, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We heal from transgressions. We heal from iniquity, glory to God. We heal from sickness and disease. We heal from the bondage of sin. That's why I encourage people to read the book of Romans, because when we begin to read and study and meditate on the book of Romans, we understand that we are dead to sin and alive to God. When we begin to understand that we're dead to sin and alive to God, the transformation process won't be so hard. When we begin to confess that I am dead to sin and I'm alive to God, and not only confess that thing, but believe that thing and begin to live that thing, we'll begin to see ourselves changing into the image of God. We'll begin to see that holiness coming through, glory to God. But we have to do something about it. We have to present ourselves as living sacrifices unto God, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service, something that we just should ought to do because he died for us, because Jesus died for us, because he paid the penalty for our sin. So this is something that we just ought to do. But we got to love God enough to do this. We got to love him enough to build that relationship with him. We got to love him enough to say, God, I'm going to transform. I'm going to allow you to transform me. I'm going to allow this word to transform me. I'm going to allow it no matter what. And we got to just get our feet and dig our feet in, and we got to just be ready for the ride. Because guess what? God is going to be with us every step of the way. We read the scripture the other night. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. That's a promise from God. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you go through the fire, you shall not be burned, and neither will the flame kindle upon you. This is a promise from God. So he's letting us know that as we go through this transformation process, okay, as the tests and the trials come, as the temptations come, he's going to be with us to help us through this. You think God would let us go through a transformation and then just leave us hanging? I wouldn't serve a God like that. You're going to just leave me hanging? You tell me to get transformed and then you're going to leave me hanging? He's not going to do that. See, that's the characteristic of Satan, to leave you hanging, to get you into something and then leave you hanging. Oh, yeah, that's his character. That's not the character of our holy God, of God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. That's not his character. If he say be holy and you're doing everything you can, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're fasting, you're meditating on the word of God, he's going to help you through this. He's going to help us through this. I promise you he will. See, I'm preaching to myself, okay? Y'all getting the benefit of hearing it, but I'm preaching to myself. See, because there's still some more shedding that has to be done in Teresa. Amen. Glory to God. There's some more shedding that has to be done. Okay, but guess what? Each of us has to know for ourselves what process of that shedding we are in. Are you still shedding your first layer? Are you still shedding your second layer? Have you progressed to the third layer? You know, whatever layer you are, that's whatever layer you are. Everybody might not have the same layer. And like I love what my husband said, because I was going to bring that up, is that each person is different. Each butterfly is different. There are no two butterflies that are alike. You can look up butterflies, and they're all different. They're beautiful in their own right. But they all had to go through the process. And sometimes when a butterfly begins to come out of its cocoon, okay, it's not really called a cocoon. It's another word for it. But when it begins to come out of its place of transformation, sometimes that butterfly gets stuck, and it needs a little help coming out. That's why my husband said sometimes the butterfly, sometimes it dies in that cocoon, because sometimes something happens and it really can't get out. But we have help. And if something or someone is there to help that butterfly get out, it's going to come out and it's going to do just what it does. And I like what my husband, he wrote a paper, I don't know how long ago, but I just want to read it right quick. It says, before a caterpillar is transformed into being a butterfly, he/she must first tarry a while in the cocoon. While in the cocoon, the caterpillar begins to change. While in the cocoon, he is nurtured, fed, and goes through certain stages of growth and maturity. But let me say this, he begins his change before he even gets into the cocoon. He says, but one day after the transformation process is over and the perfect work is complete, then the creature once called a caterpillar breaks through the cocoon and reveals his true nature, the creature that God purposed him to be. You see, the caterpillar, in truth, was never made to remain what he had been. He was always meant to be a butterfly. He says, another thing, while a caterpillar, its diet consists of ravenous devouring of leaves, okay? But once it becomes a butterfly, it no longer consumes leaves, but rather the sweet and fragrant petals of the most beautiful flowers grown. Unlike the caterpillar, the butterfly can neither bite nor chew, but rather drinks liquid through a long, thin tube. Butterflies love the sunlight, and they will often bask in it for long periods of time. Truly, the caterpillar has become a new creation, and so can you and I if we choose to be. The Bible tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, remember, we said in John 15, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? I am the vine, you are the branches, and my Father is the husbandman. Okay? Apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine. Okay? And then we just spoke the scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So the new creature comes from being in Christ, being transformed, to begin to think like Christ, to begin to act like Christ. Okay? And it takes it, and a lot of times our change is not going to come unless we go through some things. See, the things that we go through help us to get our character together. Now, the next argument that somebody wants to argue with me about, I won't say anything. I remember that I didn't pass that test with an A, okay? Actually, I failed the test. No, I didn't curse. No, I didn't hit. No, I didn't do all of that. But I didn't approach the situation the way God did. That's another layer that needs to come off. So when the next situation comes, I have to remember, okay, I remember that situation. No, we're going to do this the way God wants us to do it. But see, if I'm not feeding myself with the word of God, if I'm not praying and trying to get my relationship together with God, to get a closer relationship with God, my Heavenly Father, when the next temptation comes to want to argue or debate or whatever you want to call it, I'll be in that same situation again. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, there have no temptation taken us, but that such is common to man. Okay? So what we're going through is not uncommon. What we're going through, somebody else has already been through that. It says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. Okay? That's why people say, well, God will never give you no more than you can bear. They've taken that scripture, and that's what they made it to be. God will give you no more than what you can bear, okay? It says, there have no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. He'll make a way of escape. And a lot of times the way of escape is the word of God. The word of God. No, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. See, but if we don't meditate on the word and devour the word of God, we have nothing to draw on, really. So we need to find out who we are in the word. Get in this word and read the word. If you don't know what to look for, and that you've already prayed and you asked the Holy Spirit, and you still find out you don't know what to do, find somebody that does. Ask God to send you someone who does, or if you know somebody who really knows the word of God and you see that their life, they're living what they're talking about, go to them and ask them, can you please help me with the word? I need help. Some things I don't understand. Get you a Bible that you can understand, okay? But be careful about those translations. Please be careful about a lot of those translations. They just go overboard. And when you read them, you don't even realize that you're reading the same thing that you were reading in the King James Version. So please be careful about these other translations, okay? All right. Now, I'm to the point in the broadcast where I want to say that if you have a question or comment, okay, those of you in the chat room, please dial 323-693-3054. 323-693-3054. If you're already on the line, if you have something you want to say, a question you want to ask, please press the 1 and we'll get you in on the broadcast. Shirley, you are still, your microphone is still on if you have a question or comment that you would like to give at this time. Your microphone is still on. Bishop Scott, you're still on the line, so if you have anything to say, at this time, feel free to do so. I hear complete silence. But Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And may I please give all of us some reference scriptures to read. But before I do that, can I read something to you? I have this Bible that my sister friend, I love her so much, Lisa, I have this Life in the Spirit study Bible. And I just want to read something to you from out of there. And at the bottom of it, it says on page 1764, we're talking about Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, be not conformed, but be ye transformed. The writer of this said, Paul implies several things here. There's a very real pressure to conform to the pattern of the present world system and be squeezed into its mold on many different levels. The pressure must be firmly resisted by true believers. The reason we must resist conforming to the present world system is that it is under Satan's rule. Okay, and it gives scripture references, John 12:31, 2 Corinthians 4:4, 1 John 5:19. It says it's also hostile to God and his people. See John 7:7. John 15, verses 18 to 21, James 4, 4, and 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17. And the world system is built upon human wisdom and values, okay, and upon unbiblical worldviews. The kingdom of Christ is not of this world. This world's kingdom is full of darkness, deception, and seduction. On the one hand, believers are called to be light in the midst of darkness. On the other hand, believers are exhorted in Scripture to resist the temptation to yield or conform to the many forms of worldliness surrounding the church, such as greed, self-centered living, principles of expediency, humanistic thinking, political maneuvering for power, envy, hatred, revenge, immaturity, or impurity, and lust, filthy language, ungodly entertainment, fashionable clothes that are immodest and sexually seductive, immorality, drugs, intoxication, worldly companions, and unrighteous things like these. And you can reference that with Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 to 16, and 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. The writer says the alternative to conforming to the world's values and lifestyles is transformation. Transformation results when Christ and his word renew our minds so that our vision, values, and plans are governed by God's revelation and eternal truth rather than by the world's temporal and deceptive pattern. Okay? I read that from the Life in the Spirit Bible. All right? And that was a commentary that is in the Life in the Spirit Bible. Let me just say before we close that each of us have a path that God has put us on to do whatever it is he has called us to do. But what we all must do is examine ourselves. We must examine ourselves daily, and we must make sure that if we have sinned, that we ask God to forgive us, that we repent. We feel sorry for that thing, godly sorry for that thing. Ask God to forgive us and turn away from it. Don't do it again. Don't continue to do the same things you keep asking God to forgive you for. Okay? That's not repentance. If we continue to do the same things that we and keep running up to the altar, okay, to keep doing the same things over and over again, that's not repentance. And may I please say that repeating the sinner's prayer, whatever you want to call it, but then you go out and continue to do the same things. I mean, a lifestyle of continuously doing the same things over again. I think you might need to revisit that. But see, we all get a new chance every day. God, I need you to forgive me. I really repent. I really am going to stop doing this thing that I've been doing. God, I repent. I turn to you. And my attitude towards sin, God, I hate sin. I want to hate sin like you hate sin. God, I love you. I give you my heart. I love you. I love you. And God, where I fall short, I ask you to help me. I ask your Holy Spirit to just come in and help me in the name of Jesus. Where I fall short, help me, oh God. I need you to help me. I need your Holy Spirit to help me to mortify this deed of my flesh. I need you to help me, Holy Spirit, to help me through this transformation, these layers that are trying to come off, that God is trying to peel off of me, these layers that he's trying to get me to come out of. I need you, Holy Spirit, to help me in the name of Jesus, because I want to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, O God. I want to do this. I want to present myself to you holy, something that you can enjoy, something that will be a sweet smell and savor unto you, God. This is what I want my life to be, and I need you to help me in Jesus' name. And he will. He will. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to sanctify ourselves. He wants us to sanctify ourselves with the word of God, with praying, with fasting, with studying and meditating on the word of God. He wants us to sanctify ourselves. He wants us to stop waiting for abracadabra, boom, 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 it's going to happen. He wants us to not wait for the twitching of the nose and think, okay, like Bewitched, it's just going to happen. No, 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 no. God don't deal in witchcraft and witchery. He don't deal in that. But there's something that we have to actively do. Just like we actively sin, just like we make up our minds to actively do something that we're not supposed to do, we need to actively make up our minds that we're going to read this word and study this word and obey this word. Because there's a lot of people who have studied this word of God, and they have ABCs in front of their names, behind their names. Their whole page is filled up with those ABCs, and you don't know who they are because of the ABCs and all the letters and stuff. And they can quote the scripture, and they can tell you how to live right, but their life is just junk and messed up. So we don't want to be concerned with just quoting the word of God, okay? Because God's not impressed with us quoting his word. We can quote the word all day long, and Satan won't care. We can quote the word all day long, but we're not living that word of God, and he know we're not living that word of God, he just, yeah, whatever. There's sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, clouds full of water, just rumbling through, just making noise. But we want to be right with God. We want God to be pleased with our lives. We want God to be proud of us. He is our Heavenly Father. We want our talk to match our walk. We don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to be walking around with masks on, saying one thing and doing another. Well, yeah, I got a radio show. I can just do what I want to do because they on the blog talk radio. They on the internet. They don't see me. But guess what? God sees everything. Hallelujah. He sees everything, and he knows our heart. He knows the hidden man of the heart. He knows the intentions of our heart. Somewhere in the Bible, and I'm not sure exactly where it is, but somewhere in the Bible says, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. I don't want God to say that to me. Yeah, you talk a good talk, but your heart ain't nowhere near me. Oh, no, 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 I don't want him to say that about me. I don't want him to say that about you. I don't want him to say that about us as a body of believers. I don't want him to say, oh, no, 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 you talk a good game. But, child, you ain't living nothing what you talking about. Go on somewhere and sit down. You've been fired. What's the name of that show? That lady used to say, I can't think of the name of that game show that used to come on. You are the weakest link. The weakest link. I don't want to be the weakest link. I don't want to be out here preaching the gospel and other people are getting born again and getting delivered and then I find myself a castaway. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I declare and decree in the name of Jesus that we are a holy people. We are a holy nation, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And if you don't know that about yourself, begin to say it. Go back and listen to this broadcast and say, what did she just say? Let me find that. I am a peculiar people. I am a holy nation. I'm holy unto God. I have a new mind. I'm a new creature. I am like that caterpillar. I'm going through this metamorphosis, but in the end, I'm beautiful. I'm in the spirit. I'm beautiful. God's not so concerned about, you know, how we beautify ourselves on the outside. You know, we know how to pamper ourselves. We know how to go to the salon, us women. We know how to go to the salon and get the nails done. We go to the beauty salon and get the hair done. We know how to get facials and do all of these things. And, man, y'all ain't slick. Y'all go too. We know some of y'all go to the salon and get y'all nails done. Y'all might not put nail polish on. But we know some of y'all get manicures and pedicures. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with taking care of the temple of God. But if we're not taking care of the spiritual man, taking care of the outside man done amount to a hill of beans. Hello, walls. Oh, yeah, really, really, really. Yeah, let's be concerned with the inward man, the hidden man, okay, the man that God sees, okay, because as quiet as it's kept, we can fool some of the people some of the time, but we can never fool God. We can never fool God, okay? Let's love God. Let's love God. Let's love him first above all else. When we begin to love God, then we'll begin to allow the transformation to come forth because we know that God only is working these things for our good. He's only working these things for our good, nothing to hurt us. Those of us that are good parents, we're not going to do anything to hurt our children, not purposely. And God is never going to do anything to hurt his children. He's never going to do anything to hurt us. He loves us. He loves us with a perfect love. He loves us with an unchanging love. And we need to love him back. We need to love him back. Glory to God. I'm done here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Obviously, no one has anything to say on the phone line, but I'd like to say I thank everyone for joining us on tonight. Force 259, guest 2388, Patriot Greg, Shirley Moore, Voices of Victory, and my best sister friend Lisa on the phone line, as well as my sister, my sweet baby sister, who I love so much, on the phone line. And I'd like to encourage you, Shirley, to just keep on moving forward. Just get your Bible and read your Bible. You know, your quiet time, just get your Bible and read your Bible and just begin to meditate on the Word of God. Just begin to meditate on the Word of God. Okay? I know you pray. Just pray a little bit more. Okay? You fast. I don't know if you fast or not, but God will lead you and instruct you on what to do as far as fasting is concerned. But begin to meditate on the Word of God. When you have downtime at work, get the Word of God. If you're not a big fan of reading, get the Bible on CD, because it's out there, it's available, and you can listen to it while you're even helping your client. You can turn the Word of God on and let your client listen to the Word of God. You guys can listen to it together while you're going about your tasks throughout the day. You know, any way you can find to, you know, get the Word in. And I'm saying this to you and I'm saying it to myself, that we need to get the Word in there. We got to get the Word in there. We got to. That's what's going to help us through our transformation. Remember how I said about the caterpillar, how, you know, he consumed that leaf and he just eats and eats and eats and eats and eats, because he's getting fuel in his body, getting prepared for the shedding of those five layers, so that the person that God has intended for him to be is going, can come forth. Amen. Glory to God. I solicit your prayers for myself, for my husband. I just ask you to pray for us that you know, we'll be able to stand, and we are going to be able to stand. We are standing now, but I just pray that you will pray our strength, that we, you know, will just follow what God wants us to do, that we will follow what God wants us to do. Pray for the broadcast, that those that are listening, that, you know, that they will hear the Word of God and be changed by the Word of God. Pray for souls who are not yet saved, that God will draw them so that they can come to him. We're living in the last days. I know this. We don't know when the Son of Man is going to appear. We don't know when Jesus is going to come and crack that sky. We don't know when that trumpet is going to sound. We don't know. But we want to be ready. We want our oil, our lamps trimmed with oil. We don't want to have to be like the five foolish virgins and say, wait a minute, let me go get my oil. No, we want to be filled up now. We want to have it now, so that when he comes, there's no excuses. We'll just be ready to go back. Hallelujah. Glory to God with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what we want. So just pray for us, and we'll pray for you. Just pray, God, whatever your will be done. Well, whatever your will is, let it be done, God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank you again for joining us on tonight. I'm going to play this one song. Hallelujah. It's called Tomorrow. And, you know, I prayed for salvation at the beginning of the broadcast. So we did take care of that. And, you know, if you want to, you can go back and listen to this in the archives. It'll be in the archives shortly after we close down. And if you know somebody who's not born again, or if you know somebody who's a believer in Christ Jesus and they're a baby, or they need help in their walk with the Lord, just you can refer them to this broadcast. And if you don't want to refer them to this broadcast, there are other Christians on Blog Talk Radio. You have Force 259. They have a broadcast that you can listen to them on. And there's other Christian people out here that have broadcasts on Blog Talk Radio that you can listen to, but ask the Lord to lead you, because there are some people disguised, cleverly disguised, but when you go and look at their page, they have another agenda. I'm just going to say it that way. So pray and ask God to lead you to whom he will have you listen to on Blog Talk Radio, if that's the way he would have you to go, and just let the Holy Spirit lead you. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Glory to God. So with that being said, we're going to listen to the song, and I bid you good night, and I pray the blessings of God be upon you. I pray that you have sweet sleep on tonight, and that you are covered by the blood of Jesus, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We love you. Good night.
Your needs, and you said, I know, but tomorrow, ooh, tomorrow, I'll give my life. Tomorrow, I thought about today.
Good night, everybody. Good night. God bless you, and I love you.
Good night.